We Presbyterian Christians are a people who want to be guided in our lives by the inspiration of Scripture. So listen now to these two passages of Scripture. The first from Psalm 139. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. Where could I go to escape from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me. The light will become night around me. Even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. The second reading is from the Gospel of John, where we hear Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. In the church season of Lent, leading up to Easter, this year I'm offering this series called Don't Give Up, Biblical Offerings of Hope. This week's installment is called Hope for Faith to Face the Unknown. It's hard to imagine any period in our lives when there were more unknowns than what we're experiencing right now. In this global pandemic, we might be beginning to turn the corner as more and more vaccines are being administered. Then again, we don't know how the emergence of variant viral strains will impact us. It's also unknown how the world's health will be impacted by other factors. For instance, what about countries that lack the infrastructure and funding to vaccinate their citizens? Or what will be the impact of individuals in our midst who are unwilling to receive vaccinations or observe public health protocols? What else is unknown? Well, the contentious election period of last year is resolved, but after elections comes the hard work of governing, and it remains to be seen how insightful and constructive and productive various levels of government will be. And last month's vicious assault on the halls of Congress and on the democratic process taking place within shocked and frightened the nation. Indeed, it shocked the world. We pray that such a politically motivated violent attack won't happen again. But who can say for certain? What other unknowns swirl around us? Well, we don't know how the local, national, and global economies are going to fare in the months and years to come. We may have concern about our personal finances in the face of this global uncertainty. We may have questions about mental health. What sort of lasting impact on us might result because of our absence from familiar workplaces, our isolation from friends and loved ones? And even without a pandemic, just the natural course of our lives presents so many unknowns. We may ask ourselves, how will I cope with this illness that I'm dealing with? Or, am I being the kind of parent that my kids need me to be? Or, how do I manage after losing my spouse or my child or my partner or my best friend? We do know this. Each of us faces unknown circumstances, unknown futures. The good news is that the Bible offers us hope in the face of the unknown. We don't need to have all the knowledge, all the answers. God sees what we cannot. In the Old Testament, we heard from the 139th Psalm, and in that Psalm, the writer reflects on God's power, knowledge, wisdom. The psalmist expresses appreciation, wonder, awe. In the mind of the psalm writer, God's greatness was nearly indescribable. The psalmist speaks for us all. He acknowledges that God knows our every action. God knows what we're going to say before we know what we're going to say. The psalm writer asks the rhetorical questions, "Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence?" And answering, the psalmist asserts that there's nowhere we can go that God isn't already there. God's presence everywhere precedes our presence anywhere. I think the psalmist sums up his thoughts in the middle of the psalm, where in describing God's inimitable omniscience, the psalm writer writes, "That kind of knowledge, it's too wonderful for me. It's so high up that I can't reach it." Don't you imagine that the disciples of Jesus must have felt similarly overwhelmed a lot of the time? I mean, despite Jesus being approachable, earnest, unpretentious, his profound spiritual awareness must have caused them to feel at times like he was speaking a different language. They may have said to themselves many times, "That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high up that I can't reach it." One of those times might have been the scene we heard today from John chapter 14. Now, in the verses immediately preceding that selection from the gospel, Jesus had told his disciples that they couldn't follow where he was going. He meant that he would be taken from them and killed because of his complete obedience to God's will. He would be taken, but they wouldn't. Twice he said that they could not follow where he was going. But then in chapter 14, Jesus tells them, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also." And Jesus then adds, "And you know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" What Jesus seemed so sure of felt like a complete unknown to Thomas. In effect, Thomas was echoing the words of Psalm 139 that confessed, "That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it." Jesus responded to Thomas and others with words that are very familiar to most of us, if not just a little mysterious. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So, Thomas wanted specific instructions, and Jesus responded, "You need to trust me." Two different ways of facing the unknown. Maybe an experience I had a few years ago might illuminate the difference. A few summers ago, my wife Mary and I decided that our vacation would be a self-guided tour of several sites in the Deep South that figured in our nation's civil rights movement of the 1960s. So we started in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then to Memphis, Birmingham, Montgomery, Atlanta. Now, though the institution of slavery had been abolished more than 100 years earlier, in the 1950s and 60s, the descendants of the enslaved were still restrained from living a free and full life because of blatant policies and practices promoting racist segregation. So thousands of ordinary people put their very lives on the line simply by insisting that society treat all people with respect and fairness. They organized, they marched, they worshiped and prayed, knowing their goal, but not knowing how much they would have to endure in order to assert their rights, not knowing how long they would have to endure it. We both found that vacation to be such a stirring, sobering, heartening, instructive experience. And I would commend several specific destinations if you're interested. There's so much about America's mistreatment of its own citizens and their push for civil rights. There's so much that people like me, members of the white majority population living up here in the North, there's so much that we don't realize, so much we need to learn. But there was another aspect of that vacation that was new and different for us too. Before we set off on that adventure, we did some research about specific sites that we wanted to visit. But what we didn't do was plot our actual driving route. Now, for me, 10 or 20 years ago, the idea of setting off on a road trip without specific driving instructions, that would have been unimaginable. It used to be that before we'd think of setting out on a road trip, I would have pulled the atlas off the shelf, studied various route options. I would have acquired specific route recommendations from AAA, usually obtaining those sets of personalized maps that they would make for you. But for this trip to the Deep South, on the morning that we left home, we just programmed our first hotel destination into our car's navigation system, pressed the button labeled Begin Route Guidance, and we drove off following the instructions. And about 8 hours later, we ended up in the parking lot of the Nashville Hotel where we had reservations for the night. We had faith that our new navigation system would easily, safely guide us where we wanted to go, and our faith was rewarded. In fact, rewarded repeatedly over our 9-day trip through 7 different states. Well, I started thinking about the difference between how we used to plan our travel compared to this trip when we simply trusted our GPS would get us where we wanted to go. That old familiar system of using maps highlighted with pre-planned routes, you know, that really relied mostly on us. Our success depended on us having the right map with the correct route, being able to decipher it at the crucial time in order to make the right decision about which direction to head. In contrast, as far as using the GPS guidance, in a way, it was an act of faith. We had faith that the software would speedily and safely get us where we needed to be. Roadmap or GPS, that could almost be a metaphor for the trust that Jesus invited his disciples to place in him. When Thomas spoke for the disciples about following where Jesus would lead them, he was worried about how they could possibly figure out their way to an unknown destination, an unknown future. Facing the unknown, he wanted the map with step-by-step, turn-by-turn instructions that he could see before his very eyes. But Jesus assured Thomas that all that was needed was simply to trust him. Though the disciples were facing an unknown future, God, in Jesus Christ, knew where they were headed. Indeed, God was already in their future. What was unknown to them was a fait accompli in God's eternal existence. God lives their future. God lives our future. Rather than try to manage and map our way through all the unknowns in our lives, Jesus invites us to put our faith in him. Jesus knows the way. He is the way to the future that is unknown to us, but fully known to God. If you've heard the expression, a leap of faith, that's what this means. Going into the future, faithfully trusting God to guide us where God wants us to be. Walking in faith, even when we aren't sure of the way, aren't sure what we'll find. It takes courage, trust, hope, with expectation. Your first step is to accept Jesus as God's Savior and Master of your life. Then, for Jesus truly to be your Master, you need to surrender your willfulness, your thirst for control, your hunger for answers. Give it all to God. The unknowns of life won't magically disappear, but they won't have the power over you that they once had because they no longer solely depend on you. You are facing life's unknowns with God at your side, with God in your mind, with God in your heart, with God in your present and in your future. Jesus invites us to see that putting our trust in God gives us faith so that we can face the unknown. To God, whose knowledge is too wonderful for me, said the psalmist, to God be the glory. Amen.